Hit that line. It was Pee-wee's voice. Johnson, hit that line. I turned to see what he was pointing at. There was a row of bushes that almost completely hid the muzzle flashes coming from their midst. Johnson got down in a prone position and started stitching the bushes. We all went down and started firing. There were Kongs on the hill behind us and Kongs to our flanks. We kept moving toward the line of bushes, and I saw some of them moving out. Johnson cut them down as they ran. There were stands of trees every 100 yards or so along the rice paddies leading to the hill. We hit the first stand and fought from tree to tree. I got behind a tree and took clips from my belt. They were wet, and I shook them and blew on them to get the water off. There were hundreds of ARVNs still in the paddies. They were being cut up pretty bad. Many were wounded and screaming. Some of the ARVNs had just stopped where they were and were holding their hands to their heads. They had freaked out completely. Some guys from Charlie Company had tried to get out along the dikes and now lay dead on them. One kept waving his arm in the air. He was still alive. Another guy from Charlie Company started out after him. I turned away and started firing at the wood line.
Move it out! Move it out! We'll get pinned here!
Get pinned? Shit, we were pinned. The wood line was alive with Kongs, but we kept moving toward them. The jet above saw what was going on and came down and raked the wood line. He dropped a bomb that shook the ground. I flinched as the heat from it came over me like a rush. Gearhart was screaming something. I got up and started moving toward the wood line again. There were 50, maybe 60 meters to the next stand of trees. When I got to it, I went down and pushed along on my belly. I saw Lobo pushing along a few meters from me. The flak jacket caught on everything. I couldn't move with it. I took it off. I felt 100 pounds lighter. We pushed through the wood line until we reached a clearing. The firing stopped. For a few seconds, there was absolute silence. And then everything started up again as heavily as it had been. It was as if somebody had changed channels and then switched back to the war. From the paddies, I could hear the screaming of wounded men, mostly Vietnamese. They cried out in high-pitched voices that sounded almost like cats wailing. We were under cover and held our position. Gearhart was running by, saw Johnson, and ran to him. He didn't say anything. He just collapsed near him. I saw him feel his chest, and I thought he might have been wounded. Then I saw him pull out a cigarette. His hands were shaking too badly to light the cigarette, and Johnson took it and lit it for him. Gearhart took a deep draw on the cigarette, then seemed to pull himself together. I looked around for Pee-wee and saw him and Monaco together. They had got another 60 from somewhere and were firing it across the clearing. I looked for the soldier from Charlie Company who had been waving his arm at the dike. I saw him. Just his shoulders and an outstretched arm out of the water. Captain Stewart was coming over toward us. Beyond him, I saw guys moving out across the open space. We were getting the hell away from the hill, but I didn't know where we were going. Stewart had blood on his face, but I couldn't see if he was hit or not. Gearhart waved me over. He told me to keep an eye on Jamal. I said I would.